So just a fair warning, I flew last night in from Jacksonville, Florida, and my plane landed in St. Louis about 1 o'clock this morning, and I did not get a nap. So if I'm at the end of this homily, if nothing makes sense, please have mercy. I went to Jacksonville, Florida for a great event for the church. And that was the ordination of a classmate of mine, Father Eric Pullmeyer, as the next bishop of the Diocese of St. Augustine, Florida. And it's a great event for the church because it affects the whole church. A new shepherd, a new successor to the apostles. God remembers his church, who are in need of a shepherd. And responds. And I love it. You know, if you read the letters of St. Paul, a lot of times Paul will say, start off his letters with something like, Paul, called to be an apostle by Christ Jesus to the church of God in Corinth, to the church of God in Thessalonica, to the church of God in Jefferson City, to the church of God in St. Augustine, Florida. God responding to the needs of this local church, right? So it was a beautiful ordination ceremony. It happened on Friday afternoon. And I want to talk a little bit about that and try to tie it into the readings a little bit as well. It was an event for the universal church because now the Diocese of St. Augustine has a bishop who's in communion with the Bishop of Rome, the same as the bishop of our diocese is in communion with the bishop of Rome. And so these two dioceses are also in communion with each other. So at the ordination mass Friday afternoon, there were probably 25 bishops there. I would guess at least 250 priests, probably at least 50-some deacons, a bunch of religious sisters, probably, I would guess, around 1,000 laity filling this church. And the ordination rite for a bishop, in many ways, is similar to the ordination rite for a priest. So the two essential actions are the laying on of hands and the prayer of ordination. That happens for a deacon's ordination, for a priest's ordination, and for a bishop's ordination. So when it got to that point in the ceremony, Father Eric walked up and knelt before the Archbishop of Miami, the Metropolitan there, who imposed his hands on him. And then all 25 bishops came and laid their hands on his head as well. So, you know, every time we celebrate the Eucharist, you know, a lowly priest lays his hands over the bread and the wine, and Almighty God deigns to transform that into the sacrament of the body and the blood of Christ. Imagine what 25 bishops laying hands on Father Eric's head did to him. What a beautiful event, powerful, powerful event. And then after that, Father Eric continued to kneel there while all the bishops prayed the ordination prayer. When I was ordained a priest, the ordination prayer prayed that the spirit of holiness and the spirit of counsel would come upon me. And in the ordination prayer for a bishop, the church prays that the governing spirit will come down upon this man. The governing spirit because he's called to govern the church of God there in Florida. To govern, it's another way for saying to shepherd, to be a pastor, to lead the flock. That word govern has the sense of he's called to be a father, right? In that gospel reading today, Jesus, when asked to teach us how to pray, he says, say, Father, Father in heaven. A father, you know, in the Old Testament, I think the word father was used in the entire Old Testament maybe about 17 times, and oftentimes kind of analogously, like, oh, God is like a father. But Jesus, And just one of the Gospels used Father for the Heavenly Father, I think like 45 times, just in one of the Gospels. It's so important because he's the Son. And in this ordination rite, he is calling this man to act like a shepherd, like a father. When we, to call someone father, right, is to say, you owe me. A father is called to provide and to protect and to nourish and to care for. And so the people of that diocese can say to now Bishop Eric, you owe us. You have to protect our faith. You have to guard us. You have to nourish us and provide for us. Make sure that all these priests are providing for us. And that's what we say to the Heavenly Father every time we pray that prayer. But then it goes the other way as well, right? The Father can also say, yes, and you also owe me respect and obedience and love and care as well. And so when we dare to call God Father, that's the dynamic, and that's the dynamic that the church is laying upon Bishop Eric Pohlmeier now as well. So after those two essential things, the laying on of hands and the prayer of ordination, then he came up for there was several explanatory rites. And one of the most important, he came up and he knelt before the archbishop, who took sacred chrism oil, right, and poured it on his head. And he was very generous with it. He poured it on his head. And then he took like 20 seconds trying to just rub it in, making sure that it took, that it stuck in there. And, you know, he went and kind of dabbed some of it off. And you could see later on in the day, his zucchetta was just completely stained with the sacred chrism oil. Any time I got close to him, it's like, you could smell it, the fragrance. So that anointing with chrism, that happens in the priestly ordination rite as well. When I was ordained a priest, the bishop took that chrism oil and he anointed my hands so that for the purpose of, then my hands can then consecrate, make holy, give blessings. He was anointed to be bishop on his head with that same sacred chrism oil because he's got the governing spirit. He's the head of that local church, called to be a pastor, shepherd, father. And so his head is anointed to be configured to the head of the church, who is ultimately Christ. And then the next symbol that they gave him was a ring. They put a ring on his finger as, okay, you are now, you know, take care of your bride, the church, your spouse, the church. This is your bride that you are betrothed to here. And you can kind of wonder, okay, is there a parallel between that and priestly ordination? Because I didn't get a ring when I was ordained a priest, but I did have to get to go up, and kneel before the bishop and put my hands in his and say yes to when he said, do you promise respect and obedience to me and to my successors, right? And you might say, well, how does that relate to spousal commitment, right? You're kind of supposed to be obedient to each other. At least one is supposed to be obedient to the other. Hopefully both mutually obedient to each other. And then he was given a mitre and a crozier, right? The mitre is this two-pronged hat. It's a crown, really, of a sense. In the book of Revelation, it talks about the elders on the thrones who are pastors, shepherds, judges, and they wear crowns. They're called a royal priesthood, a kingly priesthood. And so he was given kind of the symbolic crown there. And the two points refer to the Old and New Testament. The entire Bible is supposed to be what governs him as he governs the church. And then, of course, that the pastoral staff, or the crozier, right, was given to him. He's the chief shepherd there. Every pastoral staff, it's got a crook on the top of it, right? And that's so when he's shepherding the sheep, if one kind of starts to go astray and get out of line, you hook him bring them back. No, come back here, stay together, right? Or if some sheep are starting to lag behind, you use the other side to prod them forward. No, just get up there, stay together. We go together as a community, as a church to God. We help each other. We support each other. So it was a beautiful, beautiful event for the whole church. And, you know, he is probably, I would say, one of the best from my class. He's from the Diocese of Little Rock, Arkansas. The bishop there in Little Rock, every time I would see him, he would always, and I would ask him about Father Eric, he'd say he's the best pastor of this diocese. You know, he's very intelligent. He's athletic, you know. He's calm, gentle, peaceful, pastoral. But the quality that just really kept standing out for me Friday and Saturday while I was there was how prayerful he is. Full of prayer. And that's what the scriptures are all about today. Calling us to be full of prayer, prayerful. In that first reading from Genesis, right? God decides to share this momentous thing with Abraham about what he's going to do to this city. And Abraham prays, intercedes, not just once or twice or three times or four times, continuously. But notice, he's persistent in that prayer, but notice how respectful he is, right? Ah, don't go angry with me. I'm just dust and ashes. But what if there's only 45? You know, I'm unworthy to speak up to you, but what if there's only 30? What if there's only 20? And it almost brings me to tears at the end of that reading when he says, what if there's only 10? And God says, for the sake of those 10, I will not destroy the city, the entire city. Kind of the background of that, you know, in Judaism, in the Jewish faith, Israelite faith, they kind of have a belief that's based on that story that says then, if you have 10 together who are interceding, you can save a whole city. God listens to our prayers. We need to be prayerful. In the gospel, you know, Jesus teaches us how to pray. And sometimes we can kind of struggle with that. I don't know how to pray. I'm not worthy to pray. Does God really care about me? You know, I'm a sinner. And Jesus even acknowledges that in the gospel. If even you who are wicked, it's like, well, see? Why should I pray? Jesus even acknowledged how wicked I am, right? Jesus knows you better than you know yourself. And he loves you more than you love yourselves. And he also calls you to more than you usually call yourselves. And he gives you the grace to respond. Because in that gospel, he didn't just say, you who are wicked. He said, you who are wicked know how to give good things. We're all a mixture, right? Of good and evil. And God knows that. And he speaks to us, he nourishes us to redeem us. Not because we have to be perfect in order then to be able to be heard in prayer. We just have to make our voices heard in prayer. He knows who we are. And he loves us. The homework for this week is to be persistent in prayer. And I would ask you, invite you, encourage you to pray the Our Father 3 days a week, three times each day this week. In the morning, around noon, and at night. Be persistent in that prayer. Let it sink in to your mind and heart as you bang at the doors of heaven. Be persistent, prayerful.